Welcome to HTBT. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you so much for listening. Special shout out to all the classrooms that are listening. I've been getting feedback that some teachers are sharing these shows with their classes. Wow, that's so awesome. I hope this is a blessing to you. I hope you get some great stuff from this. Also, shout out to our Periscope listeners. Never mentioned them before, but turns out we have a pretty good following over there for Cross Politic and our show, How to Build a Tent. So go over to Periscope, follow Cross Politic and How to Build a Tent. You can also find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at How to Build a Tent. And just give us a follow, send us a DM if any questions, comments, anything like that. You can email me, matt@howtobuildatent.com. I'd love to hear from you guys. Go over to crosspolitic.com, become a member, get great benefits, exclusive content, discounts on great merchandise, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So go check out Cross Politic, become a member, see all the great shows. All right, today we're going to talk about how to live a stress-free life. And I'm not talking about just moving to Hawaii like I did, although that helps a lot. We're going to get into some great biblical principles on how to live a stress-free life. And this is so important because business can be stressful. Our careers can be stressful. Startups are super stressful. So we need to have a great foundation and a great understanding on how to live a stress-free life. So we're going to go to the Bible and we're going to see what God has to say about that. I'm really excited about this show. If you can't tell by my voice, I woke up at like 3 a.m. and God just like started putting scriptures into my mind and kind of just laid out where we're going to go in the show today. And I don't even know how I'm awake right now. Maybe it's just because I'm just so pumped on the show. And I just hope it's a blessing to you guys. So let's get into it. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 2, 18 through 22. I'm going to read it. This is the first work assignment, the first job description. So the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a companion for him who corresponds to him." The Lord God formed out of the ground every living animal of the field and every bird of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that is what the name was. So the man named all the animals, the birds of the air, the living creatures of the field. But for Adam, no companion who corresponded to him was found. Sad face. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was asleep, he took part of the man's side and closed up the place with flesh. Also, the first surgery. Then the Lord God made a woman from the part he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. So this is such a great passage. There is so much in here. We're going to take it from a business perspective, but this really applies in all areas of life. You need to live stress-free, not just in business, but your whole life. So this is going to be a really applicable episode, not just for those entrepreneurs, business leaders, but for every one of us. First thing I want us to notice here is who noticed the need first? Was it Adam? No, God did. God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." He was the one who understood Adam's need before he did. Before Adam even had a clue, God understood the need. So what did God do? He put Adam to work. He gave him a job. And he had to name all the animals on the air, in the ground, probably in the water too. And he went to work. And no companion was found for him. He didn't find anyone like himself. You would think getting to like the H's and the hyenas, he'd start to get really depressing. It's like, man, there's all these pairs of animals. I should build him an ark. No, I'm just kidding. But he's going through this work assignment that God gives him, being faithful, obeying God. And he's starting to realize that there's no one like him. And he's starting to see what God saw before the assignment was given, that it's not good for him to be alone. I think this is a place where we can find ourselves in all areas of life. We can look around and feel alone. We start to see this need that God is no doubt showing to us that we need to trust him with to provide for. We look around, we feel alone. We have this big problem we don't know how to solve. We don't have the answers. No decision, decision A, decision B, decision C, none of them are good options. It feels like we are in a disaster, that we've digging ourselves a ditch. We have no idea what to do next. But during this time, it's at least for me, and I'm sure for you guys too, I get this anxiety, I get this itch, this compulsion to act, where I feel like I have to solve it. I have to figure it out. I have to use my intelligence to figure out the best situation. And I go to my experience, I go to my education, I go to my resources, I look to what other people have done to try to solve the problem. But I don't go to God. And I find myself not acting like Adam, but acting like Saul. Oh, you know the story. In 1 Samuel 13, Saul had 3,000 men, and he is doing what kings do. He's going to battle against the Philistines, the arch rivals of the Israelites. But he finds himself in one of those situations where he is desperate. He only has 3,000 men. The Philistines have 3,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, an army that is as numerous as the sand of the sea. And he only has 3,000 men. And the men are scared. He's scared. Their lives are on the line, and he doesn't know what to do. He's waiting for Samuel. He's waiting for God to show up. Samuel, being the voice of God in that time, being a prophet of God, Samuel was supposed to come within 7 days, but didn't show up. Saul felt abandoned. So what did he do? He does what we do so many times. When we're in those situations, when we feel anxious, when we feel like stressed out, where we feel like we have to act, we don't know what to do, but we're going to have to just do something. He does that something, and he disobeys God. He performs the sacrifices, which was forbidden for kings to do. Kings were not supposed to act as priests. That was reserved for Jesus, for the Melchizedek priesthood, not the Levitical priesthood. And he acted out of anxiety. He acted out of stress, like so many times we do. And we know this was a test because just like so many other stories in the Bible, the moment he does it, the moment he performs that sacrifice, Samuel shows up. 7 days, he's late. The moment that Saul drops the ball and disobeys God, Samuel shows up and says, "What did you do?" He felt obligated to burn the offering. His life was on the line. He was trapped. He was surrounded. He didn't see any other solution. He had to perform the sacrifices or there would be no chance. But he disobeyed God. I don't know what your Philistines are. Maybe it's making payroll. Maybe it's student debt. Maybe it's a dead-end job. Maybe it's a failed business. Maybe it's a broken marriage. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but I know who our God is. And he says this, that those who wait on the Lord's help will find renewed strength. He will mount up as if he had wings of eagles. He will walk and not grow weary. He will run and not faint. Isaiah 40, 31. So you may be asking, Matt, how do I practically wait on the Lord? How do I obey him? What do I do? Well, we do what Adam did, not what Saul did. We obey the Lord's commands. We do what God asks us to do. In the Bible, what the Holy Spirit has led us to do, what we feel that God has called us to do in our jobs, in our marriages, in our relationships, whatever it is, we just stay faithful in doing what God has called us to do. And we wait. We wait for the Lord because that is where we will find his strength. Because nothing we do is ultimately going to save us. Only God can save us. And God, just like in Adam, brings along these situations for us to see our need. He brings these situations along for us to see our need for him. He brings these trials around, not for us to solve, not for us to innovate through, not for us to use our intelligence or experience, but for us to wait on the Lord for him to fulfill our needs, for him to solve the problem. Because before we even knew the problem was a problem, before we even felt those anxious feelings, God knew about it, and God had a solution in mind. We need to be like Adam in this story and not like Saul. We go back and we see what Adam did. He did what God called him to do. He faithfully completed naming all the animals. And then what? God led him into the rest. He led him to sleep. And out of that rest, God worked. It wasn't Adam's ingenuity. It wasn't an invention. He didn't come up with the idea and pitch it to God. He didn't finagle. He went to sleep and he rested. And God worked, because God wants to be the problem solver. He wants us to need him. And you may say, Matt, I'm all out of time. I have no choice. I have to act, just like Saul. I have to do something now. And I say to that, look to Jesus. He is our perfect example of waiting on the Lord to the point of death. He had to die, and then God exalted him to the right hand of the Father. He had to die. And like Abraham would obey God even to death of his son because he believed in the resurrection, it said in Hebrews. God doesn't work on our timetables. We need to throw our timetables out too. We need to just obey God, just like Jesus did. Wait on the Lord and you will receive the strength, even to the point of death. We must love God to the point of death. We must obey God to the point of death. Because then is the point where we are taking up our cross and following him. And you may say, Matt, I've already screwed up. I've already done what Saul did. I disobeyed God. I did the sacrifices. I tried to fix things myself, and I've totally screwed it up, and I'm stressing out because I don't know what to do. I say, look to Jesus, who obeyed God to death and took on the propitiation, the anger, the consequences of our sin. And he has given us his righteousness as if we did obey like him. And fall on the feet of Jesus, and he will deliver you. When you are looking to God, when you are waiting to God, even after all of the mistakes, he's going to show up for you. Fall on the feet of Jesus. Look to Jesus, the second Adam, the greater Adam, and he will deliver you. His strength will come. His army will come and fight for you. He'll bring you to a place of rest, and he will do the miracles that you could never think of. You could never, in your wildest dreams, understand the plans that he has. He has those for you in those situations, because those situations are there for the only thing is to bring him glory and to bring you to him. Look to Jesus. We may not know the solution to our problem, but we know the solution to every problem, and that's Jesus. We don't need to know the details. We don't need to have it completely understood. We don't need to micromanage God. We need to enter the rest. We need to go to sleep. We need to find ourselves at a place of peace that surpasses understanding. When we focus our eyes on the problem, that's when we get the stress. When we are focusing on the problem, when we are meditating on the problem, that's when anxiety happens. That's when disobedience happens. But when we focus our eyes on Jesus, that's when we enter the rest. That's when we have the peace. That's where we find perseverance and strength through the filling of the Holy Spirit. So how do you live stress-free? Focus on Jesus. Whenever you find yourself focusing on the problem, advert your eyes to heaven and worship God, fall on his feet, and ask for his solution and obey God and just trust that he is going to work it out. He is faithful and just. He will be the provider. He will be our champion. And you can rest in that. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full on his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I'm going to be praying for you guys today. And for any of you who are struggling with anxiety or struggling with stress, just give it to the Lord. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And we'll talk to you next time. God bless.